After a great clanking of bolts and chains, a small door set into the gate opened.
"I shouldn't do this, you know. Let strangers in. But for Lord Loxley personally, that would be very different," said the porter, making a wheezing noise almost like a laugh. "Come with me."
There were no fresh rushes on the stone flags of the great hall. No green hanging from the walls, no holly or ivy. Only a chill winter gloom spreading from the corners. The unease the traveller had felt since the forest grew with every step into the gloom. "Where are the Christmas revellers? The mummers, the jugglers, the music?" said a warning voice inside the traveller's head. "Above all, where is my father?" There was a fire at the far end of the hall, but in a hearth big enough for a man to stand in, only a few damp logs hissed in the grate. What little heat they threw out was blocked by a man seated at one end of a long table, a heavy book open before him. He was adding to the columns of figures already inscribed on its pages, some in red, some in black, and moving little bags that clinked when he set them down. A pair of rush candles threw a flickering puddle of light around him, shining on dark, greasy hair.
"A stranger to see you," wheezed the porter. "Ask him for Lord Loxley."
"Lord Loxley?"
There was surprise in his voice. He looked up. Tiny mole-like eyes took in the porter and his visitor.
"Leave us, Twitchit. Approach the fire, stranger."
There was not a flicker of recognition, but the traveller knew the gaunt face before him well. Sir Guy of Gisborne, his father's most hated rival, taking his ease in the great hall at Loxley.
"I have a message for him," offered the traveller, "from his son."
"How sad. Clearly you cannot have heard."
Gisborne's eyes, like an extra pair of nostrils placed above his sharp nose, glittered dangerously.
"His son died in the Crusades, fighting alongside King Richard, bravely by all accounts. Tell me, what was the message?"
Before he could answer, a sudden gust of freezing air made the rush lamps gutter. The great hall door closed behind a man encrusted in ice and snow. He held one arm against his chest, roughly bandaged with a blood-stained cloth.
"What is it, Worman?"
"Ambushed. Ambushed in Sherwood, Sir Guy," Worman complained. "Water got away from us, and at least three others. I took an arrow in the arm for my pains."
He threw down the feathered end on the table. Sir Guy glanced at the broken shaft in front of him.
"The sheriff wants an example, Worman. I want an example."
Worman's weasel face cringed.
"Someone will hang for the stolen venison."
Danger began to worry at the traveller's mind. He stepped away from the table.
"No, stranger," said Gisborne. "Do not leave us so suddenly. Give me your message. I am the Lord of Loxley Castle now. Lord Loxley is dead. A hunting accident. Sadly, he never had a chance to clear his name of the stink of treachery against Prince John, so his lands were taken from him and his heirs. The sheriff thought it best to give them to me, temporarily."
"Then I have no message," said the traveller, turning to leave.
He had not taken two steps when Worman let out a strangled cry. There was a scrape of steel being drawn from a scabbard.
"Stop! Turn around, stranger," said Sir Guy. "On the contrary, I think you do have a message."
Gisborne was holding the broken arrow. The black goose feathers on the shaft pointed accusingly at the traveller. The arrows in his quiver had given him away. In his other hand, as lightly as he had held the quill, Sir Guy gripped a sword. Worman was struggling to draw a long dagger from his belt with his good arm.
"Take his bow, Worman."
Worman's dagger left its scabbard too late. A black, feathered arrow seemed to leap of its own accord from the quiver to the bowstring. Worman found himself staring at his arm in shock. He had not even seen the bow tensed, and yet his remaining arm now had an arrow through it. His dagger clattered to the stone floor.
"Do you not recognise me, Sir Guy?"